Am I afraid of dying in an aircraft explosion? And the answer is no, because a long time ago I worked out the three benefits of dying in an aircraft explosion. First of all, if you've ever arranged a funeral service for a loved one, oh, it's so much work and so much things you have to do. If you die in an aircraft explosion at 30,000 feet, it's a free cremation. And they also scatter your ashes over somewhere. Number two, I think it's the same in Oslo. Cremations or burials cost a lot of money. This is not just done for free, but your family make a profit out of it from the insurance. And the best benefit, so you have instant cremation, you make money out of the funeral. And number three, at 30,000 feet, you're so close to heaven, it's easy to go the rest of the way. Okay, it's a silly joke, but I like silly jokes. Okay. So I think we're ready now to do a guided meditation. And again, these guided meditations, if you're having a wonderful time in the meditation and I ring the bell, just carry on. I often imagine what it would have been like for the Buddha in Bodh Gaya if he was just about to get enlightened and then suddenly there wouldn't have been a Buddha. And other times, you know what it's like. You think that Ajahn Brahm has fallen asleep or he's died. It must be at least a couple of hours since we started and you're being tortured. Now, honestly, if it's hurting and it becomes too much to endure, then please move. Please just go outside and get yourself a glass of water or coffee or something. Be kind to your body. If you're kind to the body and a friend, your body will work with you. Rather than sometimes, you're so cruel to your body, forcing it to sit here like this. And then the body throws what they call a tantrum. It doesn't want to work with you anymore. It's not your friend. So it'll have pains and aches, which you don't know where they come from. I always say that's the body just showing that it doesn't appreciate how you treat it. If you're kind to your body is usually very kind and gentle to you. So anyway, let's get started. I don't know, shall we do 45 minutes meditation or just 35 till 3 o'clock? I'll just do it to 3 o'clock and then we can have another break and then another meditation. Hope that's okay with you guys. So you close your eyes. And this body of yours, are you kind to it? I've lived with my body for over 71 years now. I appreciate it. Thank you, body, for looking after me. And I will look after you. That's not just an empty promise. I will do that as best I possibly can. And I start looking after you, body, by closing my eyes and experiencing you to the fullest. Because if I've got my eyes open, I'm distracted by the things and people who I see. Now with my eyes closed, I've got more capacity to feel more deeply how you are. And I will be kind to you. During the meditation, if there's anything I can do to make you more comfortable, body, I will do that. A lot of times, when you start with that attitude of kindness to your own body, then the body never complains. You can sit for long periods of time. It's like the body and you are working together in harmony. And so the body doesn't react. It knows if there is a problem, you'll deal with it straight away. So I feel my legs. How are your legs? I'm mindful of them. And I add this wonderful kindness. I care for you, legs. I'm not going to just teach you how to endure pain. I'm going to do my very best to be kind, which means that a lot of the pains, they don't occur in the first place. The Buddha taught the two types of pain. The actual physical disturbance and your mental reaction to it. He called it the two thorns, which can penetrate your skin and cause you pain. But it's the emotional response is the worst. The emotional response, the reaction, is also the easiest to deal with. You give it kindness, and much of the pain vanishes. I'm kind to my legs, kind to my bottom, my butt. I've got a much softer cushion today. So my butt kind of appreciates that. Just the same that if I bring Ajahnito some new books or something special, he may have read that before, but just he knows I'm being kind to him. And that makes all the difference. The kindness and care relaxes everything. And then my torso, where all these important organs are. And of course those organs have to work together in harmony. So I look at each one of them, as many as I can experience, including the digestive system and the stomach and the lungs. I can feel how they are. If there's any of them which are slightly troubled or not sort of peaceful, I'll just go there and wish them well. It's like giving them a loving kindness. Kidneys, liver, may you be happy and well. Thank you for caring for me and doing your job to keep my body healthy for myself so I can help others. Thank you. When I say such things, it's with sincerity. I mean it. And as I scan up my body, my whole body relaxes. If there's anything else, any illness or sickness which is developing, often you can notice that, like a type of tension or imbalance in one little part of your body. You don't know exactly what it is, but you know that there's something there which, given kindness, will relax and the problem will disappear. So many tumors have disappeared that way. Then I get up to my shoulders My shoulders are tight at this moment. I can feel that. I've been sitting down here a bit too long. But nevertheless, I know how to relax my own shoulders. One way, if you haven't tried this before, is to scrunch up your shoulders as much as you possibly can. Really scrunch them up and then let them go. And they usually, for me anyway, they relax deeper into ease than they were at the beginning. I can feel my shoulders feel at ease. I go back down my arms, past the upper arms, past the elbows, past the wrists. And as I pass every part of this body, sometimes if the mindfulness is strong, it's like I zap it with loving kindness. Give us this beautiful energy. And I know it's working because the mindfulness tells me that right at the moment my wrists are relaxing. I can feel them deeper in ease than they were 1 minute ago. I go to my fingers. Sometimes I ask for fingers. You may think I'm crazy, but it does work. Fingers, how do you want to be positioned? And I listen for the answer. This evening my fingers want to be in the palm of each hand, with the thumbs lightly touching. The standard position for your hands in meditation. Well, I don't always meditate like this. And I go up to my shoulders and neck again. Sometimes, because I do suffer from allergies, sometimes there's a lot of phlegm in my throat. Sometimes it can be itchy, like with a cough. But then I know how to deal with it. I accept that cough. I listen to it, be right inside it. As I go right inside it, you have the ability to soften everything, to be kind to it. And that irritation, once it is accepted and embraced, I don't need to try and get rid of it with a cough. That's what the cough does. It's the body's way of trying to eliminate a problem. I replace that strategy with accepting the problem. I go up to the face, relax all those muscles. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes I imagine a smile on my lips. I smile. And that makes the meditation more attractive and easier. And if anything, that's the most important part of what we call the meditation posture. Have a little smile on your face. And also sometimes I imagine my brain. Now, many of you may have seen what a brain actually looks like. You don't have to have seen it, just imagine it. Imagine your poor brain. It works so hard, and a lot of times it is for the benefits of others. Maybe your parents, or a child, or a partner in life. But right now, imagine your brain has a hinge on its side. So you can open up your skull and take out your brain and put it into a lovely little basket with a nice cushion underneath. And you lay your brain very softly, very gently on that cushion. There's a pillow for it and a beautiful doona to keep it warm. And you say to your brain, have a rest. You come back inside afterwards. But right now you've been thinking too much, working too hard. I relax the other parts of my body. You deserve relaxation too. You're not supposed to be able to feel any sensations in your brain. So just imagine them. You can have a period of meditation without having to think. You don't have to try and keep memories. Like no work allowed for your brain. You can just be. And you relax your whole body. Now, like in that simile of the thousand-petal lotus, what layer of petals are you aware of right now? Don't have any plans of where you want to be. Just be mindful and accepting of where you are. What is in front of your mind right now? Whatever this is, that's the most important meditation object in the world. The one right in front of you. Now is the only time you'll ever have. And what to do? Be kind. Be kind to the content of this moment. Let it be. Don't try to get rid of anything. Any object of meditation which comes up, which you may be ashamed of, you think is wrong, stupid, violent thought, if it's here right in front of you, please accept it. It's come to you to teach you something. And it will keep coming back until you have learnt. So accept every moment, no matter what it is, without judgment. Your only job is to be aware and be kind. To your body and to your mind. I will be quiet now for another 20 minutes and then I will ring the bell. That was a very, quite a short meditation.